I'd like to invite Andy up, who's going to bring the message this morning. And I'm going to pray with Andy, and then I'm going to let him loose. You're talking on acting justly, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I mean. Heavenly Father, thank you for Andy. Thank you for this word that, Lord God, you have placed in him. And Lord God, I pray, Lord, all that you have given him, Lord, that he would share just as you've called him to. Lord, that there will be no holding back. Lord God, Jesus, that it will all be under the unction of your presence, the unction of your Holy Spirit, Lord. Let the words that he speaks, Lord, the meditation of his heart, Lord God, be acceptable, but also let us be ears that listen and hearts that are open to your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. I still can't believe that it's 2026. I don't want to sound old, but time really does fly, isn't it? I mean, for me, it just feels more like 2021. I don't know where the last 5 years have went. But as Isaac already asked earlier, have you made any New Year's resolutions or any plans for this year? Now, I was asked this question on Monday by Chimeta, and he asked me that because he knows I'm actually pretty bad at making plans, really bad at planning. So he specifically asked me that question. What plans have you made for this year? Now, Chimeta then proceeded to show me his five-year plan, carefully mapped out on a big spreadsheet, you know, with so many different tabs, all the different targets and tracking that, according to him, he reviews every day. It was just very, very impressive. He's so much better than me in this area. But whether you are more like me or more like Chimeta, as Christians, I think we all have the desire to grow, to move forward, isn't it? To advance in life, to go from strength to strength. You know, we thank God for what he's done in 2025. But we know that there is so much more for us in 2026. We go from glory to glory as Christians. So it can be helpful at the beginning of the year just to reflect on what are some of the things that are important to God and how we can grow in them this year. Now, one thing that I really love about God is that we don't have to guess what he wants or what he desires. God's will is clearly spelled out to us in the Word of God, isn't it? Now, I was going to say that in human relationships, like marriages, we often have to guess and read minds about what the other person wants or desires, but I'm not going to say that. But I just love God. We don't have to guess. What does God want? What does he like? He tells us that plainly. He tells us clearly what his will is. Jesus tells us that the number one thing that God wants from us is to love God and to love people. These are the first and second commandments. And it's good to reflect on that at the start of this year, to make a commitment, to resolve to give God all of our heart this year, all of our affections. Again, this is the first commandment, to make him the object of the main object of our desires, and to be ready to be used as his vessel to display his love to other people as well, isn't it? To love God and to love people, it has to be the priority for us in this year, in 2026. And Jesus makes that so clear to us. We don't have to guess. But at the same time, these two commandments don't give us a lot of detail. It doesn't really tell us what that looks like. So what we're going to do, we're going to look at another passage that just gives us a bit more detail what God means by these two things. The passage that we are looking at this morning is from Micah chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. It should come up on the screen as well. So we're going to read that together. It says, What should I bring before the Lord when I come to bow before God on high? Should I come before him with burnt offerings, with year-old calves? Would the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 streams of oil? Should I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the offspring of my body for my own sin? Mankind, he has told each of you what is good and what it is the Lord requires of you, to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Again, I just love that we don't have to guess what God wants and what he desires of us. He makes it so clear. And the prophet Micah is asking these rhetorical questions. Would God like this? Should we do this? Is this what the Lord desires? But then he says, no. God has told us what he wants. He has told us what he requires. He makes that clear. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Again, this is a famous passage, and it's important. As I was looking at this famous passage, I was struck again by how serious it is. God requires that we do this. What God's not saying here that if we have some spare time, then maybe we could kindly consider to potentially do this if it's not too inconvenient for us. No, this is what the Lord requires of us. I was just struck again how clear God makes this. This is what he wants from us. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. And in 2026, we want to grow in these three areas. Again, this should be one of our priorities. And we will look at this first one today, to act justly. And over the next few weeks, we will unpack the rest of the passage, the other two things as well. So let's focus on acting justly. Now, this would be more literally translated to do justice or to practice justice. And out of all the different things that God could require of us to do, he says to do justice. That means justice is not a small matter to him. It must be pretty important. Again, this is what he requires of us to do. And what we're going to look at now are just a few verses that tell us of the importance of justice to God. Now, the first thing that we're going to look at with regards to how important justice is, we're going to look at some verses that tell us about how God not just requires justice, but that he, in fact, loves justice. This is something dear to God's heart. I've got first verse from Psalm 33, verse 5, which says, "The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love." Also from Isaiah 61, verse 8. "For I, the Lord, love justice, and I hate robbery and wrongdoing." Again, this is expressing what is on God's heart. It's not just something that God does, it's something that God loves. That is part of his desires. And I've got one more on this from Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24, which says, "But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord." And our God loves justice. He declares that he delights in justice. And he feels really strongly about this. This is important to God. That's why he made it a requirement for us to practice justice as well. And our destiny as believers, we know, is to become like our Father. In fact, that process has already started. And in 2026, we have the opportunity to be even more like our Heavenly Father by loving and delighting in justice. There's one more verse about the importance of justice that I want to mention. This is from Psalm 89, verse 14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Again, this verse tells us that justice is not secondary to God. It stands at the very core of all that God does. It's the foundation of his rule and authority. Justice is central to the kingdom of God, and it's important that we, the body of Christ, grasp that, how important justice is. So this year, let's grow in our love of justice. Let's make justice more important so that we can be more like our Father in heaven. So far, we know that pursuing justice is a requirement for us, but we also know that since it's something so precious to God, we also want to love it. But there is more. One of my favorite passages in the Bible, in the scripture, is Titus chapter 2. Specifically, there's four verses. Supposed to be good with numbers. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. And it says this: For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-control, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all lawlessness and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Such a great passage, so much packed in this passage. But we just want to focus on the very last bit. Why did Jesus give himself for us? It says that he might purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. I love being reminded of how God feels about me. And we are his own people, his own special people. That is how the Almighty God sees us. And because we are so special, he's entrusted us with an important task: to be those who help others experience that same reality, that same love, that same grace as well. So when we receive the grace of God into our lives and we understand how precious we are to God, good works are no longer a chore for us. It's not just a duty. It's something that we are eager to do. We are zealous to do. Because it's the way how others get to experience the reality that God cares for them too. Again, if we understand how God feels about us, it helps us to see how he feels about other people too, everyone else. So works of justice naturally flow out of the revelation that God loves and cares for people, which starts first by knowing that he loves and cares for us. I'm probably not saying anything new here, anything you've not heard before, but we often forget this, don't we? It's good just to remind ourselves of that, that God genuinely and deeply loves us. He really cares. He really cares for us. And doing these works of justice communicates this message to other people as well. God cares for them too. And just so knowing this in our own lives, it just energizes us, gives us that zeal, that eagerness to do these good works, these works of justice to help other people receive God's love too. I wonder if you have any good stories from your own life, how someone else helping you just really open your eyes to the love of God in your life. Maybe have a thing good to share maybe with other people over coffee at the end. And let's encourage one another in how important loving other people is in knowing God's love. Now, me and my wife, we lead a Connect group, and over the years, we've had number of people that became Christians in our group. And what I would really like to say is that they became Christians because of my perfect grasp of theology and my excellent teaching, obviously. However, most people would actually say that they experience God's love first by receiving the love and help from the other people in the group. Again, theology is important, truth is important, but what actually made the difference was showing love to other people. That's what most of them would say. The Apostle John, he wrote a lot about this in his first letter, about how we love because God loved us first. And in his letter, he really doesn't mince his words. Some parts are really lovely, but he's quite serious as well. For example, this is 1 John chapter 3, in verses 16 to 18, he says this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. We should also lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but closes his eyes to their need, how can God's love reside in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Have we really experienced God's love? The Apostle John says that we can tell by how we treat those in need. So far, we have said that justice is something that God requires. It's something that God loves and is foundational to his kingdom. And that by understanding his love and care for us, we will be energized to love others too. But what do we actually mean by justice? What is justice in the Bible? Well, in the Bible, justice is so much more than just legal fairness or punishing evil. Of course, those are good things, and we support those things. But the biblical justice is often focused on protecting the vulnerable and helping those in need. This is what the prophet Isaiah said about justice. Learn to do right, seek justice, defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. Again, it's not just legal fairness, is actually focusing on those who are in need, those who are underprivileged, those that need help. That's what biblical justice is mostly focused on. Now, another question. What is the relationship between righteousness and justice? A lot of the verses that we read actually were connecting those two. You read how righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne, and many other verses as well. And what I think is that righteousness is more about our individual moral purity. It's about how we personally act. Again, It's about our own behavior. It's about our own character. But justice is something that we do on behalf of others. Now, righteousness is really important. Without it, we would, of course, be participating in injustice. But on its own, righteousness is not enough. We are called to do more than just avoid evil in our own lives. We are to spread God's goodness to other people as well. And Pharisees in the New Testament are just a great bad example of this. They were so worried about every detail of the law regarding their own purity. And they were just so focused on that, about their own purity, just washing everything, just every detail had to be right. But at the same time, they were oppressing others instead of helping them. And this is what Jesus tells them in Luke chapter 11, verse 42. He says, "Woe to you, Pharisees, for you are careful to tie even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore justice and the love of God. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things." Again, as we think about this year, 2026, we have to be careful not to only think about our own growth, but how we help other people as well. Our own growth is important. Again, Jesus tells the Pharisees to continue doing it. It's a good thing to grow in our personal righteousness. But we should not neglect justice. And the question is, how can God use us this year to impact other people? As we think about New Year's resolutions, setting goals, plans, let's not make it just about ourselves and our own growth. Let's think about how God can use us to spread his love and his goodness to those around us. Now, as we think about justice, I think there's kind of two levels. We should help the needy, the oppressed, while also working to change and stop the causes that create those hardships in the first place. There are the symptoms and the causes, and justice is dealing with both of them. Again, we don't want to neglect one, only do the symptoms, or only work just focusing on the causes that will only kind of make an impact maybe sometime in the future. It's important to treat both the symptoms, but also deal with the causes. But that sounds like a lot. And obviously, as individuals, we have limited time and resources. But that's why I'm so glad that I'm part of the body of Christ. I'm so glad I'm in a connect group where we helped the sick and we financially support the orphans. We advocated for the persecuted Christians set together. I'm so glad I'm part of Encounter Church, where over the years we've been supporting Christians against poverty, helping people in debt, safe families, just helping vulnerable children. We've supported Be Free Cambodia, which helped exploited women. We did Operation Christmas Child for many years. We've supported hospices, food banks. I'm so glad I'm part of Encounter Church. But we're also part of the Evangelical Alliance, which seeks to address things more on the national level and speaking to the people in power. I'm so glad I get to be part of all that as a body of Christ. And we can achieve so much more together than just as individuals. But of course, the challenge for us this year is to make sure that we are actually a part of that, not just in name only, but we actually do get involved in all of these opportunities that we have together. And of course, Body of Christ is not just limited to Encounter Church. There are so many other opportunities out there, all across Birmingham, nationally, internationally. The Body of Christ is working. They are doing the works of justice, and we want to be a part of that. We want to join together. We want to do our part in that as well. Now, some of us might be a bit better at dealing with things, getting involved more locally, just meeting some of the more immediate needs. Whereas for some of us, it might be better to get involved more nationally, dealing with some of the causes, maybe in politics. But each one of us should think, how can we get involved? How can I do justice? How can God use me in this? We're not going to fulfill this requirement to do justice by being passive. In fact, doing justice is often costly. It's demanding. It's tiring. But it is what God loves. This is what God desires. This is His heart. Now, there is one last thing that is important to mention about justice. Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells this really important parable about the persistent widow. And we're not going to read the whole parable, we're just going to look at the conclusion. This is Luke chapter 18, we're just looking at verses 7 and 8. This is what Jesus says. And will not God give justice to His elect, who cry to Him day and night? Will He delay long over them? I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. Now, Luke explains to us that the reason Jesus gave this parable is to illustrate the need to pray always. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He talks about the people that cry out to Him day and night. Jesus connects prayer and justice here. He says God will bring justice to those who cry out day and night. As we seek justice, it is really important that it is rooted in prayer. Because it's in prayer where we encounter God's love for us. In prayer, we meet God's heart for the needy and oppressed. And it's through prayer that power is released for us to be able to bring justice to these difficult and to different situations. It's important also that we are careful and wise, because there are many causes, many movements to claim to seek justice and work for the oppressed, but in fact they cause even more injustice. And there are many social justice movements which are completely opposed to God's ways. But prayer helps to give us discernment and wisdom and connects us to the very heart of God for His people. And it's through prayer that we get to see clearly what it is that God wants and how He can use us. And we really get to know His heart. And so I love that as Encounter Church, we regularly pray into some of the injustices in our city and nation and even globally. And I want to finish today with one final verse. We're quite a few verses, but I've got one more for you from Ephesians 2, chapter 10. It says this: For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are God's masterpiece. And in 2026, let's not miss out on doing what God has prepared for us. Again, God has a calling on our lives. He has given us resources. He's given us time. He's given us opportunities. Let's open our eyes to see how God can use us this year. Again, we've been created for this. This is what God made us to do. And we are His special people called to do this, to spread His love all over the earth, to advance His kingdom by doing these works of justice. I wonder if you can stand with me We talked about prayer. Let's pray together. Just thank God that He has called us to do this, that we get to do this, that this is not, again, not a chore for us, but we get to be used by God to do these things. There we go. Thanks, Chimenta. let's pray together. God, our Father, we worship you this morning. We worship you for who you are, and you are the God of justice. We just love who you are, that you actually care for those who are lowly, for those who are oppressed, those who are in need, those who cannot help themselves. You actually care. You are so high and lofty. You are so glorious. Yet you stoop down. You humble yourself to look at the needs of those who can't help themselves. You yourself defend the cause of the fatherless. You care for the widow and the orphan. Oh, we worship you for who you are. Who is a God like you who loves justice, who loves spreading this goodness and love and fairness to all the people across the world? Thank you for who you are. And this year, Lord, help us to grow to be more like you. Help our hearts just to grasp your love and desire and delight in justice. Oh, we want to be eager to do these works of justice. We don't want this to be a burden. We want just to delight in your ways, just following your plans that you've prepared for us. And we just wanted to thank you for us as church, as the body of Christ, both just locally and globally. We thank you that we get to do this together. We thank you that we get to be part of what you are doing in the earth. There's so many worthy causes that we are a part of. And we just pray your blessing on that. We pray you release your power through the works that we do together. In Birmingham, in our community here, we pray your power would be released just to push back darkness and bring your light. Lord, use us this year to advance your kingdom, your goodness, your righteousness in our communities. Use us, Lord. I pray you give us just clarity and direction and vision this year to move forward in this, in these works of justice. Use us, Lord. This year we don't want to be passive. We want to step into all the things that you've prepared for us. We declare, Lord, we are your special people. You've made us precisely for this. So we pray, use us mightily this year. Use your church. Use your people. May we bring you glory through this as we bear much fruit this year. In Jesus' name, amen.